Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Word for Word, and I'm Pastor Steve, and this is the show for Wednesday, August the 24th, 2016. And we're going to be doing Leviticus 16 and 17. So let's get right into it. There's going to be a lot of interesting things in this with a lot of information I need to tell you about that you're not going to find in your King James Bible or others, and a lot of mistranslations there. So we'll just get started. Verse 1. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aharon, when they approached, 71:26, the presence of Yahweh and died, when they did the incense thing, in other words. Verse 2, and said Yahweh to Moshe, speak to Aharon your brother, so that he does not come at all times into the set apart place within the veil before the Kopharath, 3727, that's the cover with the cherubim and all of that which is upon the ark, that he does not die, because I will appear in the cloud, 6051, upon the Kopharath. And nobody was allowed in there when that happened, because it would kill them. Verse 3. Thus shall Aharon enter into the set apart place with a young bull calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. Verse 4. He shall put on the set-apart place, or the set-apart linen coat, pardon me, and shall have the linen breeches upon his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban shall he be clothed. These are set-apart garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. Now, linen, as opposed to wool, is non-conductive of static electricity. This ark is a giant capacitor. They've tried to rebuild it according to the dimensions in the Bible, and they had to shut it down because it had so much energy that it just... They couldn't rebuild it. There's only supposed to be one of these. And you will remember when Uzzah put his hands on the ark to keep it from falling, and Yahweh killed him. Well, a charge of static electricity hit him and killed him. Yahweh is energy. He's spirit. He's beyond our comprehensions what he actually is. So he was reminding them of that. Put these clothing on. These clothes are going to be made this way. Because he knew all these physical laws. And he was trying to protect his people. He didn't go in there and get a ground on you, and the static jumps like a static spark when you walk across a wool carpet, and you reach for a brass doorknob, and it goes, bleh! Well, imagine that a million times amplified. That's direct current, and that will kill you. Verse 5, and he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two he-goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. Verse 6, and Aharon shall offer his young bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make propitiation for himself and for his household, all the sons and daughters of Aharon. Verse 7, and he shall take the two goats and present them before Yahweh at the door of the tent of meeting. Verse 8, and Aharon shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other lot for Azazel. 5799. Now, who is Azazel? Azazel was supposed to be, as a proper name in the older volumes, a desert demon to whom all the year was, yearly sin was sent symbolically when the priest laid his hands on the head of the goat and confessed all the sins. That's what he's going to do. So he's a desert demon who all the sin was imputed. You might have another name, Hallel or Halel, the adversary. And I'm not quite sure about that. I can't find the proof of it, but it seems likely. But we'll just hold that in abeyance now. That's not in the scripture, and I'm not going to put stuff in the scripture. I don't believe in that. It is what it is, and don't add or take away. Verse 9. And Aharon shall bring the goat upon which Yahweh's lot fell, and offer it for a sin offering. Verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be for Azazel shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make propitiation with it and to let it go for Azazel into the wilderness. Now they called this in the King James Version a scapegoat. They added that. That's their terminology. It is a made-up thing. It does not say scapegoat anywhere in the scripture. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. No scapegoat. That's a churchianity term like angels. Doesn't say angels anywhere in scripture. It says messenger. So they want to do the warm and fuzzy, tussy, feely. Well, these messengers were sometimes messengers of death and destruction. They weren't warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. Okay? Well, there's no scapegoat. So that's that. Verse 11, and Aharon shall bring the young bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, and for his household, and all of his sons and daughters, the ones that were left, Nadab and Abihu were gone, and shall slaughter the young bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. and his family. Verse 12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Yahweh, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. The high priest could go in the veil carefully. Had to have a good reason. He had to be summoned in there or commanded to go in there by these commandments. Otherwise, get fried. 6:13, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before Yahweh, so that the cloud of the incense may cover the copperath that is upon the testimony. 5:7:1:5. So he does not die. His presence has to be ameliorated by this incense. That's to show that he is there on official business as high priest. He didn't just walk in on Yahweh. Verse 14, and he shall take of the blood of the young bull and sprinkle it with his finger upon the copperath eastward, 6:9:2:4. And before the copperath he shall sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. The holy number 7 again. Yahweh has a penchant for that. He 7 days, the seventh day is the Shabbat, 7 times sprinkling. All through Scripture, the number 7 plays a great role. Verse 15, then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the young bull, and sprinkle it upon the copperath and before the copperath. Identical thing except different blood. Okay. Verse 16, and he shall make propitiation for the set apart place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, 6:5:8:8, in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tent of meeting that remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. They would sin, they would do this, they would do that, they would fall short of the mark, and these would build up over the year, and once a year he had to cover over the sins of Israel with this ceremony. Let's halt right here. This was not working. Later on, Yahweh saw that the sins of Israel and the apostasy was so great that it would require a pure, perfect sacrifice. Not the blood of bulls and goats. They weren't getting it done. It was a one-year deal. This had built up. So he manifested himself as Yeshua, Messiah, and shed his blood for us, perfect, sinless blood. He was in the flesh of a man, so that body could suffer and die. It wouldn't do any good to be in a perfect body. It was made perfect later when he took up the life again, when he had left that body and walked the inner parts of the earth for 3 days. This is the Son, the manifestation of the Son Now remember, way back, he told Moshe, Hayah Asher Hayah. I will be what I will be, or I will become what I will become. Future tense. He became the burning bush. He became the pillar of cloud. He became the pillar of fire. He became messengers that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He became this pillar of cloud over the tabernacle. And eventually he became Yeshua Messiah. Nothing is beyond his power. Yahweh is one and his name is one, but he can manifest himself in different forms because all of him cannot be in our presence because his total presence would destroy us because of this uncleanness that we're talking about. Now, are we any cleaner today? No, we're worse than ever. Man. We're worse than ever. We've got all kinds of idols. We've got pork eaters. We've got homosexuals. We've got people living together outside of the covenant of marriage. We've got abortions. We've got race mixing. I mean, we've got it all. We're just wallowing in filth. But those of us who believe in Yeshua Messiah and Yahweh and His Word that will come out from among us and be separate and change their lifestyle after they have repented, because that's what repentance requires, is a change in your personal life. You cannot continue on doing what you were doing because that's not repentance. You don't say, oh, I'm sorry, and then keep doing it. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And Yeshua said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Well, that's the deal. You have to put your heart into it. You got to give your heart to Yahweh. And you have to do the things that Yeshua taught us. It requires personal action. Not one big group thing. One-on-one. One-on-one. Only you can change your life. Nobody can make you change. I cannot shove this down your throat. You got your screaming preachers out there that do that. And it's not real. And they go crying and whining up to the altar and make a big show. And then just go back, and as soon as they leave the church, they just keep going doing whatever they were doing. It's fake. It's a show. It's Hollywood all over again. It's a dog and pony show. It has to be a personal relationship of love between you and Yahweh. You have to love Him above everything and everybody. Even the members of your own family. Christ said, if you love someone or something more than me, you have no place in the kingdom. Two words you need to live by. Very simple. Yahweh first. Very simple. Yahweh first. In all things, Yahweh first. First, nothing or no one can come between you and Yahweh. Anything that does that is an idol. Anything, even a family member. If they're going to drag you into sin, you shun that family member. Yahweh is closer to you than even your blood kindred. Yahweh should be more important to you even than a family member. Yeshua said, I come not to bring peace but a sword. I will separate a father from his son and a mother from his daughter. All of that. If you love anybody more than me, you have no place in the kingdom. That's clear. And all I want to do is exhort you to follow the commandments. Yeshua is the example we need to follow. Not a man like me. I make mistakes and I have to pray for forgiveness when I realize that I have made an error. And I err because I am still in the body of a man and subject to fleshly things. That will change when my Master and Redeemer returns. If I'm still alive, He will change me then. If I am sleeping in the dust, He shall resurrect me. I will rise first with the dead in Him. And I will have a new temple that will not be corrupted like this one is. That's a glorious thing. That's a wonderful thing. What a gift. And it is a gift. It is a gift from a righteous divine being to an unrighteous people. Because none of us are righteous, not one. And He tells us to love one another as ourselves. And that's why I speak these words every day. Because I care about you as I care about myself. You are my brothers and sisters. And I must do this because He has called me to do so. Okay, verse 17. And there shall be no Adam, specifically an Adam, because the Israelites are of Adamic seed line. There shall be no Adam in the tent of meeting when he goes in to make propitiation in the set apart place until he has come out and has made propitiation for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. Stop right here. That's what the sacrifice of Yeshua was for. All the congregation of Israel. A blanket exemption. One time shot of grace. One time. It works forever until he comes again. And then the period of grace will end. And it's getting real short, folks. Real close. Verse 18, and he shall go out to the altar that is before Yahweh and make propitiation for it, and shall take of the blood of the young bull and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar all around. Verse 19, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, the holy number seven again, and cleanse it, and set it apart from the uncleanness of the children of Israel, which had built up over the year. Verse 20, and when he has made an end of making propitiation for the set apart place, and the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. 21. And Aharon shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess 3034 over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away by the hand of a fit 6261 man into the wilderness. This man would lead this goat out away from all the habitations of Israel. Then this guy would come back But he had to take this thing on a journey and get it away from the people of Israel. Verse 22, "And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited." 15:09, "And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness." Verse 23, "And Aharon shall enter the tent of meeting, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he entered the set apart place, and shall leave them there." So he came out of the Holy of Holies into the regular tent of meeting, the big area, undressed, changed his clothes, and left his linen garments there. 24, "And he shall wash his body with water in the set apart place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering out in the main part of the tabernacle, where all the altars and everything was. There were no sacrifices inside the Holy of Holies. That was a smaller tent within the tent. "And the burnt offering of the people, and make propitiation for himself and for the people." Verse 26, "And he that let go the goat for Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward enter to the camp," because he was made unclean just by having contact with that goat. He was ceremonially unclean, and he had to wash his clothes, put clean clothes on, wash himself. He was clean again. Verse 25, "And the fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar." Oh, I did that one. Sorry about that. Verse 27, "And the young bull for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make propitiation in the set-apart place, shall be carried forth outside the camp." Now, they took them outside the camp because they had sin on them. He didn't eat these. This was sin offerings, and these animals had sin upon them. "And they shall burn," 8:3:1:3, which means to destroy by fire, "in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung." All they had done was cut their throat and bled them out into bowls so he could sprinkle this blood on these altars. Verse 28, "And he that burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward shall enter the camp." Just by physical contact with these carcasses, that sin partially came on him, and he had to wash it off. That's their mindset. That's the way they thought. So, verse 29, "And this shall be a statute forever to you," in other words, for a very long time, "that in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict," 6:0:3:1, "your bodies," 5:3:1:5, "and do no work," 4:3:9:9, "at all, one of your own land, or a sojourner," 16:16, "that sojourns," 14:81, "among you." Verse 30, "because on that day the priest shall make propitiation for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. Verse 31, it shall be a Shabbat, 7-6-7-6, of rest, 7-6-7-7, to you, and you shall afflict your bodies by a statute forever. All right, this affliction is a fast. You shall not eat or drink. No food, no water. For a 24-hour period. Verse 32, and the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office, that's one word, 3547, that's Kahen instead of Kohen. That's one change of one letter. Becomes a verb. In his father's place, shall make propitiation, and shall put on linen clothes, the set apart garments. Okay? When Aharon would go, one of his sons would take over. And we will see that as we go further along in Scripture. Verse 33. I've got the chapter number. And I get dyslexic sometimes, folks. I'm old now. Cut me some slack. And he shall make propitiation for the set apart sanctuary. And he shall make propitiation for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make propitiation for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. Verse 34, and this shall be an everlasting statute to you, to make propitiation for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as Yahweh commanded Moshe. You can guess what day this is, just thinking about it. Atonement is not the proper term for what occurred on the holy day. It was a covering over of sin until the next year. Propitiation is a much more accurate term, thus its use in this translation. Azazel is in the format of a proper name in the older volumes and is restored to such here. This was a desert demon to whom all the yearly sin was sent, symbolically, when the priest laid his hands on the head of the goat that was to be taken out into the wilderness and released. Now they call it scapegoat, but it would be more accurate to call it the goat of release. But even that's not in there. It said this goat will be taken out and released. People tend to want to make a neat little saying out of stuff and make up things like scapegoat. No. All the blood that was shed for the remission of sin and purifying the priest, the altar, the tent of meeting, is no longer needed. This part was fulfilled by the pure blood of Yeshua Messiah. The day of propitiation, not atonement, is now a day of prayers, of thanksgiving for the perfect sacrifice made by Yeshua. We still celebrate this, but it is not a day of mourning and dour looks. Yes, we fast in honor of the sacrifice. But we do it with joyous prayers and singing and proclaiming the glory of Yeshua, our Redeemer. The tent of meeting, the altar, and the priests are no longer with us. Thus, no further blood sacrifice for the remission of sins. Now, your references here, verse 2, you reference Hebrews 6, 19, verse 15, you reference Hebrews 9, 12. Verse 23, you reference Ezekiel 44, 19. Verse 27, you reference Hebrews 13, 11. Verses 29 through 34, you reference Leviticus 23, 26 through 32, and Numbers 29, 7 through 11. Now let's get into the short 17th chapter here. It's not nearly as long as the other. And verse 1, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to Aharon and to his sons, and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded, saying, any man of the house of Israel that slaughters an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that slaughters it out of the camp, and does not bring it to the door of the tent of meeting to offer an offering to Yahweh before the tabernacle of Yahweh, blood shall be accounted to that man. He has poured out blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Remember, everything is Yahweh's, the whole planet. All these animals are gifts to us. And when we slaughtered, we had to bring that portion to honor Yahweh. Well, that temple is not there anymore. So that's done. But that's what they had to do when the temple was traveling among the tribes of Israel, out in the wilderness, traveling around with them. And when the tabernacle was in the physical temple made by Solomon and the second temple. And after that, when that was destroyed finally, after Yeshua had ascended, when the Romans tore down the second temple, that was the end of that. The temple is within us and our hearts. And the new temple will be brought down with Yeshua when he returns for us, Israel. Because he's not coming for anybody except Israel. Verse 5, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they slaughter in the open field, that they may bring them to Yahweh to the door of the tent of meeting, to the priest, and may offer them for offerings of well-being to Yahweh. They were to bring the blood with it, because verse 6 says, and the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of Yahweh at the door of the tent of meeting, and shall burn the fat for a pleasing odor to Yahweh. You don't eat fat. Now here's something, verse 7, that's going to need some explanations, and it'll open your eyes and say, wow, I didn't know that. Well, some of you might, but a lot of you won't. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto goat demons, one word, 8163. Okay, that word is Laseirim. Seir, shatter, goat demons, half man, half goat, pagan god. Saturn's day. Sunday, Moon's day. Taya's day, Woden's day, Thor's day, Freya's day, Saturn's day. Ooh, pagan. Days of our week, Saturn's. Goat demons, sexually obsessed goat demons, fornication. Let me start again. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto goat demons, 8163, after whom they have fornicated, 2181, sexual orgies. That's part of the worship of these goat demons. And Asherah, the goddess of fertility, the mother and consort of Mithra, the sun god. Also known as Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, Ishtar. That's where we get Ishtar Sunday. The day for the goddess of fertility with the Easter eggs and the Easter bunny, the Ishtar eggs and Ishtar bunny, symbols of fertility. How have we come into this apostasy, brothers and sisters? Continuing verse 7, this shall be a statute forever to them throughout their posterity. Verse 8, and you shall say to them, any man of the house of Israel or of the sojourner which sojourns among you that offers a burnt offering or sacrifice, verse 9, and does not bring it to the door of the tent of meeting to offer it to Yahweh, that man shall be cut off among his people. 10. And any man of the house of Israel or of the sojourners that sojourn among you that eats any manner of blood, I will set my face against that person that eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. Now, cut him off means he will die. Verse 11. Because the life of the body is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make propitiation for your beings. Because it is the blood that make propitiation for the being. Verse 12. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no person of you shall eat blood, neither shall any sojourner that sojourns among you eat blood. Verse 13, and any man of the children of Israel or of the sojourner that sojourns among you, which hunts 6679 and catches 6718 any beast or bird that may eaten, he shall pour out the blood of it and cover it with dust, 6083. You're to hang that animal up and let it bleed out on the ground and then cover over the blood. Or squeeze out the bird so all the blood goes out of it. Verse 14, because it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life of it. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, because the life of all flesh is the blood of it. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. No ifs, no ands, no buts. No way out. That's what it says. Verse 15. And every person that eats of a carcass, 5038, or torn flesh, 2966, that's something killed by wild animals, one of your own land or a sojourner, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Then he shall be clean. Verse 16, but if he does not wash them nor bathe his body, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now, there's chapter 17 notes. I've already told you about 8163 Seirim. That comes from the root word for satyr. Again, it means a half man, half goat that was particularly sexually active. And all of the pagan ceremonies for these creatures involve sexual fornication. That's what it says right here in Scripture. To whom they fornicated. That was part of their worship ceremony to these satyrs. Sair is the singular of the word, and you can see how satyr came from it. The worship of them was from the nations Israel to have destroyed or driven out. They were warned not to copy their practices. Now, eating from a dead carcass can be a health hazard, and thus it was prohibited. It was sinful. They would bear iniquity if they did that, but they didn't want to waste the meat, so they ate it anyway. And then they washed and did the purification ceremony. And the pagans surrounding Israel ate blood. You've heard of blood pudding and all of that? That's eating blood. Thus it was prohibited. Anyone living in Israel's territory was required to obey these laws. Whether they are of Israel or not, they had to obey all the laws. If we did this today, we had a far less problems. Our national health has suffered because we no longer follow Yahweh's laws. All he was doing with these laws was looking out for his children's welfare because he loved us. I'll give you the references for chapter 17. Verse 10, you can reference Genesis 9, verse 4, Leviticus 7, 26 and 27, and 19, verse 26, Deuteronomy 12, verses 16 and 23, and 15, verse 23. Verse 11, you can reference Hebrews 9, verse 22. And in verse 15, 5038 is an animal found dead. In other words, it died of old age or disease or whatever. You know, it makes sense that you wouldn't want to eat that, but they did. And 2966 is the torn by wild beasts verse 15. All common sense, you just don't do those things. Ew! Nasty. He doesn't want to eat unclean, rotten stuff. I mean, this is Yahweh, our Father. He always is looking out for his children. Always, always, always. And we won't follow him. And we just do as we please. Do as thou will. That's the whole of the law. That's what the devil worshipers say. And they do. So they wonder why they have all these horrible things happen to them. And we're doing it today. And he said, if you obey, I will take all these diseases from you. But if you do not obey, I will add all these diseases to you. And we've got all these diseases. And wonder why. Oh, man, all these people are sick. Well, yeah, they are. I mean, he told us why. He gave us a heads up. What do you want? We are so arrogant. I conclude myself in this. I'm part of Israel. I bear a lot of the guilt. And you got to point your finger at the guy in the mirror, and I have to do that. I mean, I can't tell you to do stuff and then not do it myself. It's one of those deals, you know. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Elohim. I'm part of all of Israel, all of us. If we were good people and were righteous people, we wouldn't have needed a Redeemer. If we would have repented and completely, wholly followed Yahweh's laws, we wouldn't have the problems that we've got today. But we do have these problems. We have these problems in our own lives. I have to check myself all the time. Because I'm in the body of a man and I'm at war with my flesh, as Paul said. I war with my own being. All of us do. Nobody's exempt from this. But what Yahweh expects from us is a conscientious effort to be obedient. That's what he wants. He does not expect perfection from us. He expects the effort from us. There was only one perfect, and that was Yeshua. And we ain't him, especially me. I'm just a big and knothead as anybody else at times. I speak without thinking sometimes and just I do what other men do. And then I really regret it because I know the word and I've sinned and I know it and I have to go and I have to ask forgiveness right there. Oh man, I can't believe I did that, you know, that reaction. So I'm no different than you. I'm no holier than anybody. I'm no more righteous. But then again, I'm no more unrighteous. I'm just a man. I have been called to do something. And I am obedient. And I have been blessed because of my obedience. And I have cleaned up my life a lot. I really have. It's a work in progress. Always will be. But due to the love of our Father, He gives us the strength to make the changes. And we follow the example of Yeshua, not of men. People in these large churches tend to put their preachers and stuff up on some pedestal. And you know what happens when you put a man up on a pedestal? He's just high enough to kick you in the face. Ain't that a hoot? And that's what a lot of these people do. They melt their congregations and they live high on the hog and they drive fancy cars and they got a big mega church when there's hungry people out in their community. They got $1 million budget. Where did Christ preach? He didn't have some great big mega church with stained glass windows and padded pews. Wall-to-wall plush carpet, drive around in a Cadillac. He walked, rode in rowboats, rode on donkeys, sat on a rock to preach to the multitude, sat on a rock out in the weather, in the sun or the rain or whatever, and taught. That's our Messiah that did that. Why are we so proud all the time? We have to have all these earthly gewgaws and falderall. Got to have everything big and shiny and important. Important to who? The message, the word is what is important. We don't need a great big building to do that. We don't need a $1 million budget. Send Bibles to Africa. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Why? The beasts of the earth are not going to be redeemed. It's the children of Israel that are going to be redeemed. The beasts of the field have no part in this. This message is not for anybody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Our Redeemer Yeshua was not come except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The rest are just there. They're not going to have eternal life. There's no hope for them for eternal life. It was never promised to them. They are no part of any covenant with Yahweh. Only we, Israel, are part of these covenants. And we are trying to get this message out and wake up these people that are wasting all these resources that could be put to good use. And the folks that are doing it, that are trying to get the message out, are living mighty poor. Okay? You don't hear me on the EFR begging for money. I've got what I need. Yahweh provides that to me. I don't give a P.O. box or someplace where you can send me money. I don't need money from you. I need your attention so you listen to the word that I'm teaching. You need your money. Take care of your family. Prepare for what's coming. Get your family ready for the tribulation. You are my brothers and sisters. And that's all that's important. That's it. Love your neighbor, meaning your kindred, as yourself. So I'll be back tomorrow on Thursday with chapter 18 and 19. And I'll say Shalom Aleichem, that's peace be with you in Hebrew. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. This is Pastor Steve, and talk to you tomorrow.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus.